Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Ed Morse Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdMorseSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dano Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is.
It is.
The Alex Dano Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com, or also via your smartphone or tablet at the TuneIn Radio app or the Radio.com app. Hey, you need to be listening between now and 6:30. So over the next 23 minutes, be listening for your chance to win tickets. We will give away tickets to tomorrow's Dolphins preseason opener at Hard Rock Stadium. That's courtesy of Bud Light. When you hear the sound, and I'm not going to play it now because then people will get confused and they'll start calling. So I'm not going to do it right now. Just be prepared. Sometime between now and 6:30, you will hear the sound of Jimmy, Joe, and Bob going crazy on a Dolphins radio call. So when you hear that, you will know to be caller number 5 on the contest line at 1-800-227-0560, and you'll be the winner. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Bud Light, proud friend of the Miami Dolphins, famous among friends. Please drink responsibly. So later on, at some point between the next 22 minutes, when you hear Jimmy, Joe, and Bob just going nuts on a Miami Dolphins radio call, you will know that is your cue to call and your cue to win preseason tickets for tomorrow night. I'm pumped for that. Know what you're getting into, though, because if you are counting on seeing Jay Cutler make his Dolphins preseason debut, it's not going to happen tomorrow. I think it'll happen next week. Right. I mean, that was a topic of conversation yesterday at training camp. Cutler was asked about it. Adam Gase was asked about it. Like, we know you're not going to play this Thursday, but will Cutler be ready to play against Baltimore the following Thursday? And Gase and Cutler both basically said, hey, we're going to play it by ear. No decision made yet. We'll see how the progress comes along for Jay. Based on the practice that he had yesterday, where, you know, he looked to be in decent shape at least, and the arm looked fine, I think that another week he will be ready to at least take a few snaps and play a series in a Dolphins uniform next week. They're not rushing it for tomorrow, but in my humble opinion, I think Jay Cutler is absolutely going to be ready for that a week from now. So as to who else you're not going to see tomorrow night, no Jay Ajayi. He did get back on the practice field a little bit yesterday, limited, but he did some drills, pads, and a helmet on. So he's working his way through the concussion protocol. I think the fact that he's already far enough in the protocol to be out there and getting in a little bit of work yesterday is a positive sign that you'll probably see him, I think, by preseason game number 3, the dress rehearsal. You're not going to see Mike Pouncey because he hasn't gone through a full practice yet. But, you know, with Pouncey, all that they care about is 16-plus regular season and playoff games. They're not going to trot him out there or push him to be out there in any of the preseason games, even if that means missing the dress rehearsal completely. And you're also not going to see Laremy Tunsil tomorrow night. I'm going to ask Omar Kelly when he joins us in 15 minutes if he knows anything or has like a scoop or a suspicion as to what's up with Tunsil for these last few days. All I can tell you is Adam Gase has assured the media and assured the fans he's fine. It's not injury related. He's going through some personal stuff and it's not something you should worry about, but he's been away from the team for a few days and he's going to be away from the team tomorrow night when they play their preseason game. So as long as you get those assurances, you shouldn't be too worried about that, but you're not going to have him out there as your left tackle tomorrow night, which it means you're going to see Sam Young get some work out there. I mean, Sam Young is just, he's the understudy for both tackles, for the right and the left. He can play both sides. He's a giant beast of a man, right? He doesn't have that same Laremy Tunsil athleticism and skill set, but he's not a bad understudy to have at that side. You're also not going to see Ted Larson tomorrow night. you know, Ted Larson probably going to miss the first 8 games of the regular season with the biceps tear that he suffered on the very same day that Tannehill re-injured his knee last week. I believe it was last Wednesday in practice a week ago today. So without Ted Larson and without Laremy Tunsil on the left side, you're going to get Sam Young left tackle. Left guard should be Anthony Steen. I think the center will be Craig Urbick tomorrow, but they could flip-flop those guys from center to left guard. It doesn't matter. Both of them can play both. And then you'll have the usual suspects on the right side with Jermon Bushrod at right guard and Juwan James at right tackle. But you're going to see a patchwork offensive line tomorrow night, which is another reason why I'm completely cool. Oh, you know what? Texters are writing in that Laremy Tunsil became a dad. That's why he's not there. All right. So I think that's a pretty good reason to miss a few days of practice, right? That's a pretty good reason to be away from the team if you've become a father. All right. So again, that confirms that this is not anything you have to worry about for keeping Tunsil out long term. He's welcoming a new child into his life. I think that is as good a reason as any to miss a few days of practice and to miss a preseason game. So it's very, very good to hear that. But, you know, he's not going to be on that line tomorrow night, which I think is another good reason why you don't want to. Not only do you not want to rush Jay Cutler into preseason too quickly, but you also should probably limit the series and the snaps for Matt Moore as well. I don't want to see Matt Moore playing more than a couple series tomorrow night. It's not to say you don't need to get the guy some work, but he's 33 years old. He's been a Miami Dolphin since 2011. He's been in the NFL since 2008. I think a few less preseason reps in the first game is not going to hurt Matt Moore at all. In fact, you know, when I think about the things and the players I'm really looking forward to watching tomorrow night, I do want to see David Fales and Brandon Dowdy out there because they're going to be fighting for that third quarterback spot, whether that's a spot on the active roster or a practice squad spot to be the next guy up, because when you've got what I assume is the starting quarterback now in Jay Cutler at 34 years old, coming out of retirement, he's had some injury issues lately, and then your backup is 33 years old and Matt Moore, you've got to have a third stringer ready to play. And I've not been blown away, nor has anybody who's been out there in training camp and practice. You've not been blown away by what you've seen from Brandon Dowdy and David Fales. I've thought that Fales has looked a little bit better. He had a much better scrimmage, especially this past Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium, than Brandon Dowdy did. You know, I was reading Jason Leisure from the Palm Beach Post had a pregame column on tomorrow's preseason game, and he'd mentioned that Brandon Dowdy might have the edge because the Dolphins drafted him last year. He's been on the team for a year, where David Fales is new with the Dolphins this year. That could be the case, right? They could favor Dowdy because he's been around longer and he's the homegrown product. There's not like there's a whole lot separating the two guys. I just thought that David Fales has looked a little bit better to me, but the difference is probably negligible. I've got to see both of those guys making plays tomorrow because they're going to get the lion's share of the reps tomorrow evening. And wide receiver wise tomorrow, yeah, I'm sure you'll get a few snaps and a series or two from your top guys, Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, but man, I'm watching the battle for the fourth and fifth wide receiver spots. These last couple of days in practice, it's been all about Jakeem Grant. I mean, the guy's been impressive, right? In the second week of training camp, first week of training camp, what did you see from Jakeem? A lot of the stuff you saw last season: drop passes, drop punts. You know, if you're up there in the media area, you're burying your face in your hands when you saw Jakeem Grant making some mistakes. But the last couple of days, especially yesterday, Tuesday, Jay Cutler's Dolphins debut was also the best day in practice I've ever seen Jakeem Grant have in the last season plus as a Miami Dolphin. He wasn't only catching deep balls from Cutler. He caught a deep ball from Brandon Dowdy in practice yesterday also. So we're seeing Jakeem get a little bit of that swagger. We're seeing Jakeem actually play better. I think a big difference for Jakeem Grant has been the coaches have him playing a lot more on the outside rather than only in the slot, and he seems to take to the outside a lot better than he takes to the slot. So maybe you keep that in mind in the future when you decide how to use him in the regular season. But Jakeem's route running has looked a lot sharper, and his confidence is getting up a little bit. And, man, I want to see more good stuff from Leonte Carew. I mean, Leonte's not had a bad training camp so far. He's looked quicker. He's also looked a little bit more sure-handed. And the big thing for him was losing about 15 pounds before before mini camps and OTA started. He was carrying too much weight last year, he said, and you know, he didn't look very quick last year. Has been a lot quicker in training camp. And these are two guys that you drafted last year and really disappointed in their rookie seasons. I mean, outside of the top three guys at wide receiver last year, plus you did get some good stuff from Rashawn Scott late in the year when he was on the active roster over Leonte Carew. But I, you know, as much as I love Scotty and he's a UM guy, I don't necessarily see him cracking the roster or cracking the rotation. I think the Dolphins will favor the two guys that they drafted last year, and Malcolm Lewis, by the way, another Cane who's also fighting for a spot on this team. But I think the Dolphins are really looking for Jakeem Grant and Leonte Carew to emerge. They're both going to play a lot tomorrow night, and I want to see what they can put together. And also, defense tomorrow. You know, at least for one series, because you're going to go up against Matt Ryan. Matty Ice expected to play one series tomorrow night. You know, that was the most prolific offense in the National Football League a year ago. And they blew one of the worst leads. They blew it in the Super Bowl, as we all know. And they're going to be out for vengeance this year. I don't know if that translates to preseason game number one, but Matty Ice is one of the best in the business. I would like to see you slow him down for the one series that he plays tomorrow night, man. This offensive line needs better backups, a texter writes. The starters are always hurt. Well, yeah, especially Pouncey. I mean, that's the thing. Like, and I think that Urbick is a pretty good backup, right? He's obviously not a starting caliber center, like at least not a starting caliber Pro Bowl type guy, because you usually wouldn't have that when you have a starter like Mike Pouncey. The problem is Mike Pouncey is always injured. So we'll talk Dolphins. Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is going to join us next, but I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The Quarterdeck is the perfect place to watch all these preseason games. With the regular season coming up in less than a month, college football coming up in less than a month, I can think of no better spot to watch the big game or the big fight than the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. And the Quarterdeck, it's your ultimate sports viewing experience. High-def, flat-screen TVs covering every single wall. Wherever you look, the game is on. And, man, they've got awesome drink specials there. 2-for-1 happy hour, that's all day, every day. They have these amazing new craft cocktails at the Quarterdeck, concocted by their spirit master. Yes, they have a spirit master at the Quarterdeck. Unbelievable cocktails. You have to try them if you haven't tried the Quarterdeck lately. The food is delicious. Seafood is fresh. The sushi is world class. I love the oysters and Maine lobster as well. I love the buffalo shrimp. That's my favorite appetizer. Man, I love the chicken wings at the Quarterdeck. I love the chicken ciabatta sandwich. I love the meat falls off the bone baby back ribs. There's so many options of great dishes at the Quarterdeck, but whatever you do, save room for dessert because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. Yeah, I mentioned you can watch the big fights at the Quarterdeck. They've got Mayweather versus McGregor. August 26th, you can watch it at the Fort Lauderdale, Davie, or Plantation location. Mayweather versus McGregor. The Quarterdeck will be your ringside seat for that fight. And the Quarterdeck has every UFC pay-per-view fight for zero cover charge. It's a great place to watch a fight. What you want to do is find your location by visiting quarterdeckrestaurants.com. The Quarterdeck, come for the food, stay for the fun. The fact that that the game's starting early, 7 o'clock start time, I think that's a nice refreshing thing for a weeknight game. And, of course, you don't want to miss the early portion of it because I doubt you're going to see a whole lot of Matt Moore tomorrow. He's going to be the starter, but probably won't be out there too long. Maybe one series from Matt Ryan. We are going out and out of the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us. Omar, how many series, how much playing time do you expect Matt Moore to get tomorrow with the ones?
Probably about 2, maybe 3 series, depending on how they do. Probably sort of representative of what they did in the scrimmage, which is he gets 2 series and then you sit your butt down.
And Matt Ryan, I guess we're expecting 1 series from him tomorrow night. I mean, is there anything you want to see from the Dolphins defense in that first series? Because I know first preseason game, I don't want to oversell it, but you do get to get a look at one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL. What do you think these guys should be trying to accomplish in that one series?
You talking about the Dolphins?
Yeah, the Dolphins defense against Matty Ice.
The goal in an exhibition game for starters, don't get hurt.
Yeah.
I don't even think I've ever heard a guy like Kenyon Drake who's trying to you know, work his way up the depth chart, earn confidence, not for a guy like Jakeen Grant or Leonte Carew or trying to make their way on, you know, on the depth chart, or an offensive lineman who's trying to battle for a starting spot. You know, for starters, like Cameron Wake, geez, Cameron Wake's just trying not to get hurt. You know, and Dom Gintu, same thing. Raekwon McMillan is probably going to get a little bit more go than mm-hmm. just a regular starter. But, you know, just young guys, if they've already played in the NFL, if they've already basically secured their starting spot, Rashad Jones, I don't even think he should even play.
Yeah, I'm with
what's
you.
The point? You know, just go out there, break a sweat, and then go sit down.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Yeah, so Omar, I haven't gotten your take on Jay Cutler since the signing became official. I mean, what's your expectation? You know, I know that this is a guy who's been in the league for a long time, 11 years. He's got a super strong arm. He's got the relationship with Adam Gase, but coming out of retirement on short notice, what do you expect Cutler can accomplish this season?
You know, this signing was about keeping the expectations exactly where they were, which is to get to the playoffs and to get at least one win. And I really don't want to change the expectations. And this was what the move was made for. This is why you paid him $10 million. This is why you basically stuck the middle finger up to your team that said, we want Matt Moore to be the starter. So, okay, well, you raised the stakes, or you kept them high. Let's see you deliver on that. I am not a huge Jay Cutler fan, and I'm certainly not a huge fan of what I saw from film of him and Adam Gase together in 2015. You can make as many excuses as you'd like for why that was the case, but just wasn't for me, dog. I'm going to pull a American Idol on
Randy Jackson.
That's what it was. Randy Jackson just wasn't for me, dog.
Give me more on that, because everyone always says that, hey, Jay Cutler's best year was 2015 under Adam Gase. The interceptions were down, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. What did you not like about that year, or what are people getting wrong about it?
First, let's just deal with the facts. Quarterback rating was highest, but statistically, yards, touchdowns, yards per attempt, it were all higher the year before. So let's just put that out on the table right now. Wins and team success, higher in 2010. So let's just, if you ask Jay Cutler what was the best year of his career, he's going to tell you 2010. So let's just put that there. What Adam Gase did was he taught Jay Cutler how to take less sacks and throw less interceptions. He gave him more easy completions. And on top of that, he did it successfully with no receivers and an injury-decimated offensive line. Okay, round of applause for that. Didn't he do the exact same thing with Matt Moore last year? You know, Matt Moore, everybody's like, oh, Jay Cutler had a sexy 93 quarterback rating. Okay, that's great, and it was for a 16-game stretch. Matt Moore had a 105 quarterback rating. 105. Do you realize people in the hundreds are playing at a Pro Bowl level? Yeah. Now, would that have stayed the same over a 16-game period? I doubt it. Mm-hmm. But okay, let's say he regressed to the means. He's got, what, a 95 quarterback rating? Yeah, so, yes. That 2015 season taught us, and especially me, was that Adam Gase is a pretty damn good coach when it comes to quarterbacks.
But after all you've just said, why then is it not Matt Moore getting this opportunity? Why did they get Cutler?
Because I'll give you the real. They didn't trust Matt Moore. They expected a regression to the mean, especially after defenses get a book on you and know what you like to do, maybe after six games. The game changes for you a little bit, and you got to change with it, and you got to adjust. And I'm not sure that they have the confidence that Matt Moore could change and adjust and continue to play at a high level that would keep the team at a high level. Also, throughout the years, Matt Moore, when he gets a strong, heavy workload of throws, his arm starts to wear down. Mm. That had to be a concern as well. Especially if he's going to be asked to play 20 games, well, 19 games, which is what you have to factor in with the exhibition season. Keep in mind, Matt hasn't really had to play. So, you know, you got to worry about all of those things. And It would have been Matt Moore as a starter if anybody but Jay Cutler decided that they weren't going to come out of retirement. Trust me, they're comfortable and confident going with Matt Moore as a starter. Adam Gase would just prefer Jay Cutler. He has unfinished business with Jay Cutler going back to the 2015 season. Your best season is supposed to be the second year in the same offense. Jay Cutler, yeah, you could say whatever you want about, you know, they kept running Adam Gase's offense, but was it Adam Gase there running that offense for Jay Cutler?
Good point. No, it was not.
Okay, so now they got the band back together again with different weapons. But, you know, it's still the band. You still got the drummer and the lead singer. Now, you know, you got to figure it out in terms of, you know, all the other little instruments. Who's going to play bass? Who's going to play guitar? You know, but, you know, you got the drummer. You got the lead singer. It works. You can fit it in, fit everybody else in. So that's what Gase wanted. And truthfully speaking, that's all that matters. That's all that counts.
Yeah, I know that the Dolphins, prior to the Tannehill re-injury, they, of course, didn't plan on spending $10 million on another quarterback. But now that they have had to spend that $10 million, what does that do for Jarvis Landry, Omar? Does this basically make it impossible for him to get that extension?
Yes, and I don't think he was going to get that extension even if they had signed Jay Cutler. So I'm not going to say that one is connected to the other. Jarvis and the Dolphins, they're in a staring match right now. And Jarvis knows what he's worth. He's committed to getting it. He knows his hold on this team. He knows his he's the face of this franchise. And you say whatever you want about any other player, but Jarvis is the face of the franchise. So unless the Dolphins are interested in moving him, he's got leverage, but then they've also got leverage. They got the franchise tag. They don't have to do anything. And in fact, you know, if they don't want to pay him the franchise tag, they can go out there and let him, you know, get his highest bid as a free agent. They'll have the opportunity to match. Maybe if they use the transition tag, or if they don't use the transition tag, I'm sure Jarvis isn't about leaving South Florida. I mean, you've lived here. You know what it's like.
I do.
You want to go play in Chicago or Kansas City?
I'd rather not.
Okay, thank you. So Jarvis is going to give him the opportunity to match as they always do. And if it's not too competitive, you match. And if it is, if it's just an Olivier Vernon-esque type deal, then you just suck it up and you take your compensatory pick and you keep it moving.
Yeah, Omar, when I read the statement from his girlfriend, it made me think that this battery thing is not going to be an issue and that's going to go away pretty quickly. Nah. Am I right in that assessment, or could there be more to that story?
You were right before it even hit the public airwaves. There was nothing to it. When police come out to your house and they determine that they don't have any cause for an arrest or they don't have anything, you know, an arrest is easier to prove than a conviction. Hmm. If police officers say we don't have any cause for an arrest, like, what's the story? Why is this going to the state attorney's office? Because it's easier to get an arrest than it is to get a conviction. So you're going to tell me that a state attorney's office, I'm laughing at this because this is hilarious. You're going to tell me that a state attorney's office, who, knowing that the police didn't have any cause for arrest, is going to press charges later without the defendant and expect a conviction by a jury or the defendant to plea down? Like, are you insane? Do you have any idea how stupid this is or how stupid it sounds? But, you know, it doesn't matter what's right or wrong or what, you know, if it hits the public airwaves, we got to write a story about it. We got to talk about it. We got to discuss it. It's an incident that happened. Police were called. Police saw no cause for an arrest. Girlfriend says that there was no violence involved. I mean, and trust me,
and also she went out of her way to say so many nice things about him, even though they're in a nasty custody dispute, and yet she still comes out and says there's nothing to see here.
Yeah, I mean, all of those things are very difficult. So custody disputes, divorce, Jesus Christ, they're difficult. They're all difficult. So, you know, so I'm sure that there was something there, but abuse, if police come to the scene and this is what you got to know from just if you're in law enforcement, people who are in law enforcement, if police come to the scene and they feel that somebody, anybody is in danger at all, somebody has to go.
Yeah.
Somebody has to go. Whoever's got the most damage on them, or whoever you feel as a police officer suffered the most, whether it's the man or the woman, the other person's got to go. So, you know, and I'm not saying this because I'm Jarvis's buddy or, you know, I've just been covered enough legal situations to actually know what the law is and know the procedure. And there's nothing to that story. Now, is Jarvis going through a nasty custody battle? I don't even know if it's nasty. You know, from what I understand, they're still together.
Mm.
So I don't know what we're making out of this thing here.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us. And Omar, before we let you run, I have to get some defensive tackle nuggets. Davin Godshaw, Omar, is making this interesting, this competition with Jordan Phillips. Your assessment on that rookie. Oh, okay. Well, tell me otherwise then.
He's improved when he's been with the first team. And it's clearly impressing the coaches, and they want to see him play against a higher level of competition. However, I can't sit here and tell you that Jordan Phillips has been practicing poorly, because I'm not the hugest Jordan Phillips fan, but I see the same old Jordan Phillips. Are they trying to motivate him? Absolutely.
Yeah.
They can say whatever they want. We all know, you know Jordan Phillips. I know Jordan Phillips. Yeah. They know Jordan Phillips. Like, the story on the kid coming out of high school is that he has a low motor. Okay, they're trying to get him and inspire him to play well, play better, play more consistent. Okay, great. Best way to do that is make him feel threatened. That's when he always played his best, when Earl Mitchell was in the starting lineup, or when he got benched or demoted. So they got his attention. Now, Godchild sent out a cryptic tweet today.
I didn't see that. I guess I should follow him. What did he say?
I don't remember what it was. It was something along the lines. I'll pull it up now since I'm sitting in front of my computer and everybody's going to be like, oh, what did he say?
Yeah, I want to know now.
Yeah. He said something. Damn it, how difficult did the kid make his name to find? he said, okay, there we go. It was just one tweet. It was real cryptic. They said, before something great happens to you, everything falls apart.
Oh.
And
I don't know what to make of that.
And then he followed it up with a trust the process and praying hands. And I'm like, okay, great. He probably got the word that he's going to be lining up with the second team. Mm. This is just a guess here. Probably got the word that he's going to be lining up with the second team because, truthfully speaking, he needs to play a lot of snaps. I'd say he needs to play like 30 snaps. You can't go, okay, let's start Godchild out with the starters, then put in Jordan Phillips and sit Godchild, and then let's bring Godchild back. Now, could they say, Ndamukong, you play these snaps, and then Godchild, you're his partner, and then swap out Ndamukong with Jordan Phillips? Absolutely, they could. But, it's just easy to start Jordan Phillips and then taper it off and let the rookie get a lot of, the best strategy I've ever heard from an NFL coach, can't remember which one it was, but allow rookies to build off success.
Hmm.
You don't want Davin Godchild to go out there and get his face smacked in by first team Falcons offensive line. You want him to go out there and start pushing people around against the second team offensive line and say, start to feel good about himself and like, yeah, I could play in the NFL. I'm doing all right.
And Omar, isn't that what they did with Laremy Tunsil last year? Because he didn't start until late in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew that was his job,
though. Well, we're right, but to what you were saying, they let him go up against second and third teamers for the first couple mm-hmm. of preseason games before they started him.
Yeah, that's just smart strategy. The hardest thing that I've learned, and I got this from a coach. Oh God, I've been covering Dolphins so long, I forget which coach said what.
I hope it wasn't Cam Cameron.
No, I take nothing from Cam Cameron except fail forward fast, which I thought was a great strategy, by the way. The problem is they did it slowly. But the hardest thing to do with a rookie is to build back his confidence. Once they've lost confidence, it's hard for them to dig themselves out of that hole and regain, that swagger and that belief. So you want a rookie to have some success, and I have no doubt in my mind that that's what they want for all of their rookies, and that includes the offensive lineman Asiata.
Yeah.
You know, he's struggling right now, but you want him to go out there and have some success and then build off that.
He's Omar Kelly. Check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel at Omar Kelly on Twitter. Omar, I'll see you in the press box. I don't know why it took me so long to remember those words. I'll see you in the press box tomorrow night, my friend. Have a good evening.
All right. Talk to you later.
Good stuff there, as always, from Omar Kelly. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Thanks again to Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel for joining us last segment talking some Dolphins. Preseason opener tomorrow night, and congratulations to one of our listeners, John from Margate. He won those Dolphins-Falcons tickets last segment, courtesy of Bud Light. When you hear the sound, when he heard the sound of Jimmy, Joe, and Bob, he was caller number 5. Here's to the beer you can always count on, Bud Light, proud friend of the Miami Dolphins. Famous among friends, please drink responsibly. Congratulations again to John from Margate for winning a pair of tickets to that Dolphins-Falcons game tomorrow night. Wonder what kind of crowd they'll get for that. I would imagine, the excitement heading into year two of Adam Gase, coupled with, the uncertainty over, a few of those roster spots. Going to get a good turnout tomorrow, but people are going to know that, you're not getting the starting quarterback. If you assume that's Jay Cutler, he's not playing tomorrow night, but it is the first chance you get to watch some live Dolphins football in a very long time. So maybe for that reason, you're going to have a good turnout tomorrow evening. And I will certainly be there at Hard Rock Stadium covering the action. And, I do want to get a look, limited as it may be, at guys like Xavien Howard, at guys like Leonte Carew and Jakeem Grant on offense, Damian Williams. How about Kenyon Drake on offense and on special teams? Jakeem Grant, if he tries to catch a punt or two tomorrow night. And, I know that Omar gave you the most important rule of preseason. Just don't get anybody injured, right? Coming away from the first preseason game healthy, that is objective number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I get that. But so, of course, I'm not watching tomorrow night expecting, oh, what's Ndamukong Suh, Cameron Wake? What are these guys going to do tomorrow? No, I'm watching the game tomorrow night to see what the rookies do. I'm watching the game for Raekwon McMillan. I'm watching the game to see Charles Harris get a few snaps. That, to me, is the appeal of the first preseason game, right? Like, you're not watching something that is going to be, similar to what you see during the regular season with all the veterans and all the starters out there. But the first preseason game, to me, position battles, guys on the fringe, who's fighting for the 5th wide receiver spot? Who's fighting for the nickel corner job? I mean, for football geeks, that's why you watch that first preseason game. And that's the part of it that I'm looking forward to, man. And, for the Miami Hurricanes down in Coral Gables, we're 8 days into fall camp, 8 days into the quarterback competition. Interesting comments today from senior wide receiver Braxton Berrios. We'll pull that up for you guys. So according to Braxton Berrios, you got the sound there, guys, from Braxton Berrios today. According to Braxton Berrios, who, I get it. If you had one guy clearly in the lead, he's probably not going to tell you about it. But Braxton Berrios did say today that the quarterback race is dead even right now.
I mean, they really, Kate's right in the rotation as well. I mean, he gets reps with us as well. And, they're really learning what to do. And that was the main thing with all of them coming in. And now that they know what to do, it's doing it consistently.
Yeah. And even Nkosi. He knew he was going to come in here with a chance to start. And, he took that in his mind, and he took that preparation well. And like I said, it's a really close race right now.
Yeah, I wish they would turn the lawnmower a little down the next time that they do one of those post-practice interviews. But a real close race right now, a quarterback. And Barry is saying that you really don't see one guy getting the edge over the other. I mean, are you buying that? I get it that on Saturday, that's when the Canes play their first first fall scrimmage. They're going to play one this Saturday and the following Saturday. And they're still debating whether to have live contact for quarterbacks, right? For everybody else on the field, there's going to be contact. But they're still deciding whether they're going to have the quarterbacks in the red jerseys or whether they're going to actually let the quarterbacks take some hits and take some licks. I think the reward might be worth the risk there, honestly, because especially for a guy like Nikosi Perry, I need to see what he looks like out there when the bullets are live. He's only been on campus since May, only been at this for a couple of months. Yeah, I would really like to see how he deals with the pressure going up against a Miami defense that should be one of the most elite in the entire country. You throw live bullets at that kid this Saturday, you're going to have a much better idea. But are you buying the idea that the quarterback competition 8 days in is still dead even between Evan Sheriffs, Malik Rozier, and Nikosi Perry? Because honestly, I think that there's a lot they're not tipping their cap to, right? And maybe what Braxton Berrios is really feeling is that he can see pros and cons to every guy, and none of them is going to be a disaster. But I'm sure that coaches, wide receivers, O-linemen, running backs, they all have an idea in their head at this time who's thriving and who's in the lead. Maybe you don't have a lot of distance between any of the three, but I'm sure that when push comes to shove, they have an idea who can edge this thing out. We'll talk with Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post a little bit later on. 7:25, he's going to join us. He's been out at practices. He can give us any insight he has collected so far on this. Also going to have a top three list, Dono's top three, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm going to go with my top three training camp pleasant surprises so far for the Miami Dolphins, right? I think that's kind of appropriate heading into the first preseason game tomorrow night. Guys stepping up who I wasn't necessarily expecting to step up, right? Where, you know, certainly not included on that list. I'm not going to include Charles Harris because I had a good idea coming in after minicamp and OTAs that this guy is very athletic, great jump off the line of scrimmage, very good size as a rookie. Like, I knew he was going to pop off the page, but there are a few guys who have really impressed me so far. 7 o'clock hour, the Alex Dono Show coming up next here on WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.